What's going on, guys? It's Michael Weaver and Jonathan Washburn from Indianapolis and Cleveland, Ohio. How are you today, John?
I am good. The worst thing about the Midwest is the tease that they give you with good weather. 2 weeks ago, Monday, 71 degrees. I was playing golf with my buddy. Today, 30 degrees, snow. It's the tease that makes it worse.
Yeah, we got snow here too.
For sure.
We're doing a podcast today because my phone just blew up. The last 76 hours have just been crazy with all of the text messages and CNN and MSNBCs and all of the links to check this video out. And is this going to change our world forever messages? So I just thought we would do a podcast today on what's going on. So first off, The big NAR lawsuit has been going on, as you have heard, unless you've been under a rock. And we're going to start off and kind of tell you a little story. What was the old system like? And so I'd like to explain it like Mr. and Mrs. Smith. They're sitting down one day. They decided they want to sell their home. So they interview four different realtors, and they all have four different pricing strategies. You've got the flat rate people. You've got the
tiered system.
A tiered system. Right? Thank you, John. System, yeah. A tiered system. So they would sell it at 1% for this time, or maybe a different percentage if it took a little longer to sell, or if they brought the buyer, they would adjust their fees accordingly. Then you had the people that would list it for, let's say, 6%. Just a straight 6%, and they would split it 50-50 with the other side that brought a buyer, or let's say they had the fourth person and they had a 7% fee. And again, they were splitting it 50-50 at 3.5 and 3.5. So you got four different pricing strategies, and Mr. and Mrs. Smith, they were like, hey, you know what? We really want to sell our home. We want to get $100,000 for it. And we really think that Susie, she was our 6% realtor. She really like struck us as the one we should go with. So they list their home and they say, you know, no, we want $100,000, but she's 6%. So now we're going to list our home at $106,000. That way we can pay Susie her commission and we can still walk away with what we think we should get. That's how the old system worked. They would list it with Susie. Susie would market it. The MLS would show that she's offering 3% to a buyer's agent. A buyer's agent would take buyers around. They would show the house. And then if they brought that buyer, they would get 3% compensation for helping bring a buyer to the table of Mr. and Mrs. Smith's house. Problem, the buyers who bought Mr. and Mrs. Smith's house, they were sitting down at dinner and they said, hey, I don't like that our realtor made 3%. We didn't have any say in that. And so they started this lawsuit against NAR and against the brokers that helped them buy this house. Eventually word got around, hey, I didn't like how my buyer's agent got 3% either. And so all of these little lawsuits started, you know, trickling in. And then you had all these copycats that basically became a class action lawsuit of all these unhappy people who were so upset and disgruntled that their buyer's agent took them to several homes, showed them several properties, went through maybe multiple inspections, helped them negotiate all the terms, all the deal, helped them maybe pick a moving company. They were upset that they made their 3% commission and they had no say in it, so they thought. And so they brought this lawsuit and NAR had to fight against it. So let's cue the video, John, as to what actually has happened after this lawsuit has kind of been nationwide.
Important legal settlement today could be profound, bring profound changes to the way homes are bought and sold. It looks like buyers and sellers alike will save money. Howard Dykus explains.
For many years, the National Association of Realtors has enforced a 6% commission on all home sales handled by realtors. That 6% commission is much higher than what we see in most other kinds of financial transactions. But last year, consumers began filing lawsuits challenging those 6% commissions, and they began to win. The National Association of Realtors has agreed to settle lawsuits by ending its 6% commission standard. Their lawyers signed off on the deal this morning, and a copy of the settlement was shown to the New York Times. A judge's sign-off is needed next. No timetable for that. No one is sure how fast this will hit the home sales market. But a 6% commission on a $1 million house works out to around $60,000. pay half that, for example, and you free up enough capital to replace the kitchen appliances on the new house you buy. Back to you guys.
And we reached out to the Honolulu Board of Realtors for reaction. Their CEO told us in a statement, quote, "While this settlement may change some ways we do business, our commitment to support our members and serve as housing advocates, good neighbors, and community builders remain."
Well, that sounds pretty good, Michael. It seems like you all were out here price fixing and just screwing buyers out of their 3%, right? That's what that video makes it sounds like.
Sure does, John.
So let's go ahead. Let's listen to one more video. See what else they're telling us.
See area real estate agent Dana Rice.
They can keep the contract in play.
Could be about to see her entire business change, but she says she welcomes it.
I think it's a benefit to both buyers and sellers.
The change is coming because today the National Association of Realtors, the largest trade group in the nation, agreed to pay $418 million to settle class action lawsuits over broker commissions. As part of the settlement, they admit to no wrongdoing.
This is hitting the reset button on the housing market, and this is great for Americans, and this is great for homeowners.
The lawsuit argued that the NAR violated antitrust laws in the way commissions for home sales were set and split between the selling and buying agents. The settlement means buyers and sellers could soon be able to negotiate the fees to agents up front. The norm had been 5-6% commissions. The NAR says commissions have always been negotiable and that it has always been our goal to preserve consumer choice and protect our members to the greatest extent possible. This settlement achieves both of those goals. But without the standard 6% commission, competition among agents will likely increase, and buyers may choose not to use agents at all. That's a concern for Rice.
My fear is that in looking at the fee structure and what it costs, people will think, well, how hard could this be? I don't need representation. You're walking in, you've never purchased a house before, and the seller has sold 10.
Housing prices were pushed to a record high during the pandemic, but if commissions start to drop from competition, that could drive down the cost of a home.
All right. So this is great news for buyers and sellers, and everyone's going to save money. And this is fundamentally changing the entire landscape of real estate, right?
John, I wish I could tell you that's the truth, but unfortunately, there were so many mistruths in those news broadcasts that I just really want to point out a few of them just to show how big of a deal I think that they're making out of not much. And that is, if you listen to Mr. Howard out in Hawaii, he said that NAR enforced a 6% commission. NAR has never enforced. And such, they actually discourage where we aren't allowed to talk about our commissions into brokerages. It's actually a pretty harsh punishment to brokers if we are caught talking about commissions, because there's the antitrust and they don't want to have that kind of publicity. I think it's very interesting the quotation that the next newscast had. They actually did not even show that that's what NAR said, is that there has been no set or no enforced commission. So that should be the headline, is that NAR has never enforced. It is never encouraged. It has never set any kind of commission fee schedule. So John, they're really not doing some of the things that we're seeing on these newscasts just on the face, just on the things that you're seeing. They're not even doing those things.
All right. So devil's advocate, and I know you have an answer to this, but someone's listening to this and say, okay, sure, Michael, there was never an enforced 6% rule. But why was 6% basically the standard for most transactions, or was it? And does this help that?
Yeah. So John, I've went into listing appointments before and I've lost them. And I've had to call, to just check in with Mr. and Mrs. Seller and say, hey, you know, was just curious. I thought the meeting went really well. Why did you guys choose to not go with me? And they said, well, you know, Realtor B came in and they said they would do it for 3% less or 4% less or $200 less or whatever it is. I mean, they had a person come in and give them a price that was less than what my price was. So that does happen, and it happens a lot. There's several brokers around the Indianapolis area, I'm sure where you're at, that will do a flat fee already. Like there's already people out there doing this as their current business model.
Yeah. So just because there was an illusion out there that every house is sold at 6%, that's just not true. And it never was true. And it was certainly never something set out by NAR where it's like, you all have to do it this way. This was just, you know, blatant falsehoods, like you said.
Correct. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So then what is this going to change? If there wasn't a 6% rule before, then what is this actually going to change?
I think, John, the biggest change that we're going to see is we're going to see the sellers reduce the fee that they're going to pay, and we're going to see a large increase in what the buyers are going to pay. And I'll tell you, John, that this is why. I've done this for, the time of this recording, 17 years, and I would not drive people around currently with $4 a gallon gas to show 30 homes, to walk them through 4 inspections, to negotiate through bad appraisals for $500 or $1,000. It just isn't going to happen. And unfortunately, you just don't know what you're going to sign up for until they get to the home that they're going to purchase. And so that's another reason why the commission thing worked. I had someone reach out to me, and they were actually very, very glad about this. And then almost like rejoicing about how this was such a big deal and how it was unfair that the agent in Seattle sold a $850,000 house and made 3% compared to somebody who worked in Indianapolis and they sold a $200,000 house and they made 3%, and how the biggest, you know, the big differential would be there and how it was unfair. And I got to thinking, you know, likely the agent in Seattle who had the $850,000 house, it's likely that they had a big open house. You know, when you see this stuff on TV, you know, all of the parties and everything, they probably did more work and probably did more marketing, and they probably had the fancier flyers that cost, you know, $10 a booklet, as opposed to the agent who sold the $200,000 house in the Indianapolis area, who just did, you know, a piece of paper. You know, they did flyers that were on just one sheet of 8.5 by 11, and they did an open house where they had water and cookies, you know. So the commission thing has always worked because it had always been a fair assumption of what that person is going to make as a payment for their efforts. And so going back to, I don't think it's going to change the way business in the whole scheme of things is done. I just believe it's basically shifting from a seller cost to a buyer cost. And what that means, John, is now the buyers are going to have to come up with that cash on top, like their lender fee or like the title cost. Like it's going to be an extra fee out of their pocket, as opposed to just wrapping it up into a mortgage. What do you think?
All right. So this is where I, as a lender, perk up, because I'm like, wait a minute. This is going to affect my buyers? What are we talking about here? Right. And yeah, that makes so much sense to me. Right. Before, the seller paid the listing agent 5-7%. And then the listing agent would split that with the buyer's agent, which meant essentially the seller was paying for both agents. It wasn't literally happening that way, right? But essentially that's what was going on. The seller was taking out of his proceeds from the home money to give to both agents. Now, if sellers are like, okay, this is cool, right? I essentially don't have to do this anymore. They won't. Of course they won't. Why would you? If you didn't have to, you wouldn't do it. And so, but like you said, the buyer's agent, and I know a lot of real estate agents, right? I want to be careful how I say this. Most real estate agents that I know would say that generally, unless it's a certain type of market, it is more work to work with a buyer than a seller.
Absolutely, they would generally tell them. Absolutely, right? All the time.
Maybe in 2010, when the market was crashing and there were no buyers and you really had to work and grind to like find somebody to pay, you know, to like pay enough money for your seller not to get foreclosed on, like, okay, sure, back then. But like generally during most times, most real estate agents I know would say it takes more work to drive a buyer around to 30, 40 different houses and write 10 offers and go through inspections and appraisals and all these different things than it does to list the house, which involves a lot, taking pictures, marketing, doing an open house, but it's not all of the travel all over hither and yon to do that, the same thing that buyer's agents. So as you said, buyer's agents are still going to deserve to get paid because they are worth something, right? And if the sellers aren't paying them, there's only two other people in the transaction that could do it, right? The lender, wait, sorry, that can't happen. We've just violated RESPA, so it really can't be the lender. So it comes down to the buyer. And, you know, I read this stuff and, you know, I'm talking to my friends who do the same thing, right? Like, John, how does this affect you? Isn't this good? Isn't this going to be great for people? Your buyers are going to be able to spend less money on houses now. And I'm like, no, I don't think any of that's true for a lot of different reasons. But, you know, but most importantly, the person that's selling their house and buying a new one, he's fine with this, right? He's going to make 3% more on his sale because he only has to pay his listing agent, right? And then that other 3% he was going to have to pay to the buyer of his house sale, he can just take that over and pay his buyer's agent on his purchase, right? But you know who doesn't have that money? Is the first-time home buyer that's been saving and saving and waiting for the tax return to just have enough money to put 3% or 5% down, right? How about I do a lot of VA loans. I work with a lot of veterans. I make it a goal of mine to, you know, to be an expert in VA loan transactions. I teach a CE class to real estate agents on how to present VA offers that listing agents will accept, because there are lots of myths that exist about VA loans that loan officers who were misinformed told real estate agents, and then real estate agents just assumed that loan officers knew how to do their job, which you should probably never do that, right? Because there's a lot of bad loan officers out there. But there is a rule. The VA has one overarching guideline that affects how their veterans are treated on a loan. And then underneath that, they have basically addendums clarifying it. So overarching guideline number one, a lender or a veteran is not allowed to be charged more than 1% on a loan. Just can't charge more than 1% on a loan, right? The VA is trying to keep their veterans from getting overcharged by lenders and title companies and real estate agents and all these different people, right? So it's just a hard, fast rule, number one. And then number two, if we're charging 1% or even if not, the following fees are not allowed to be paid for by a veteran in any circumstance. A veteran that's trying to utilize his VA benefit that he has earned by serving this country, he is not allowed to pay a realtor commissions. Hard and fast, not allowed to do that. All right, so what does that mean if you're a real estate agent that's trying to represent a veteran? Well, number one, You can find the houses where the sellers are still willing to pay the buyer, although that's much harder to do now because you're not allowed to advertise it, right? Or number two, you can tell your veteran that qualifies for a 6% VA loan with no mortgage insurance at 0% down, sorry, you got to use a conventional loan and put 5% down and take a 7% interest rate today and have mortgage insurance just so I can get paid. Like, there's all sorts of things here that are this new this new law is going to actively hurt two groups of buyers, specifically veterans and first-time home buyers, that I, as a lender, like, I shudder to think about.
Yeah, on top of that, you were just saying, so I can get paid, but it's so you can pay me. Like, it's not only they're right. All of those fees, like, now you're also paying my fees. John, it's just so hard to think about the negative for that, because I don't know. This is all brand new to me as to what I would do personally in that situation, you know, because I too have the same deep desire to help our veterans. I mean, they went and fought for our freedom. They fought to keep us free. A lot of them have lost a lot, you know, or given everything. And so that's really difficult. And I don't know in the interim what can happen.
Right. The VA may come out in a couple weeks and say, hey, you know what? We're changing this rule. They could do that. Like, because they might have to, right? Yeah. They literally might have to do that to enable their veterans to continue using their VA benefit.
Yeah.
So what they might have to do is essentially there's no such thing as a 0% down VA loan anymore. Because you're going to have to pay whatever the commission is to your real estate agent.
That's what I was going to say is it's still, there's going to be bringing money to the table, you know, because that 0%, that's fine for the house, but then how does the agent going to get paid? This would require, potentially you could roll it into the house, right? Like if the appraisal came in with enough, would that be an option?
Yeah. If the value is there in the house, you can roll different types of closing costs in, which would include a real estate agent fee.
Okay.
But, you know, if the value is not there, what's there to be done? Michael, do you think there's a world in which, so we were talking before how in a lot of ways, this is essentially a shell game, right? Like we're going to pitch it like all of these new things are going to happen. And in the reality, it's like, no, things are just going to be shifted, right? Mm-hmm. Buyer's agents are still going to get paid, but now it's the buyers that are paying for them instead of the sellers. Do you think there's a world in which, seller concessions become more common because it's just assumed like the buyer is going to have less money to pay for closing costs and real estate agent fees? Or do you think the market right now is just like, it doesn't matter. Like, sorry, if you can't pay, like there's other people out here that can, and we're going to get as much money as we can.
Yeah. That's a tough one because we're still in a situation where we're still 6 million homes nationwide short. So we have a shortage and we have rates that are getting buyers to finally get off the fence. So for the last 6 months, we had a little thaw or freezing of buyers wanting to get out there and buy. And then rates started to dip and that really got the buyers interested in buying their home again. But in all reality, sellers are still locked into a very low rate. And the homes are worth significantly more than what they paid for it, provided that they bought it 2+ years ago. But I think in the interim, that 3% is not going to matter that much to someone who is ready to sell. I think the person who's like ready to sell, ready to move on, they're like, you know what, we'll eat it. And I don't see that really like happening so quickly where this is a big change. The person who messaged me that I'm thinking about, they were making comments like flat fees are going to rule the brokerage world by 2030. Just give them 3 years and it's all going to be about flat fees. Maybe. There's lots of flat fee people out there now, though. And if they were really that good, they would have already taken off. Just taking this 3% buyer's fee, and that's what it is. It's the buyers taking that off. And putting it on the hardest to, you know, if I had to choose between a seller and a buyer as far as harder work, buyers are always harder, in my opinion, than a seller. Usually it's going to take longer. You list the house, you're done, right? Like you do all the work in the forefront and then it's pretty much done because then you're just choosing marketing outlets that you're going through, right? Like you've already done all the photos, like all of that. If you do your pre-work right, the remaining part should be fairly simple. And then you know, negotiations and stuff. I mean, that's the same on either side. So that's not really like a, you know, but the hours that you spend for a buyer and the intensity and the, I gotta see it right now, drop what you're doing. Like that doesn't come from sellers. That always comes from the buyers. And so you're shifting and putting that all on that bucket. I don't see how that bucket is going to last and be really positive long-term if you start cutting them and you start giving them the low fees. And, you know, John, that's the thing, you know, buyer's agents, they're necessary because I'll just let you share your story with your roof story. Would you share that with us?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not out here, I promise. I'm not out here just like shilling for every real estate agent that exists because like you, I do think that there are bad real estate agents.
Oh, for sure.
And if it, like, if this helps to thin the herd and get some of the bad real estate agents out of the market, I think that will be a net positive for the whole country and the housing market.
Absolutely. But,
as a lender, if I don't have a real estate agent helping my buyer, number one, the transaction is usually a nightmare, right? There are so many different things that a real estate agent does during a loan to help facilitate the closing that most buyers don't really understand. But secondly, I almost look at real estate agents like really good health insurance, right? And like sometimes you feel like you only notice it when you need it. But then when you need it, you're so happy you have it. So here's an example. I work with a real estate agent here. She's a really awesome lady. And she was working with one of my buyers. And in the seller's disclosures of their house, the seller said, hey, we replaced this roof 3 years ago. And our buyers were like, oh, great. You know, it's Northeast Ohio. You got to replace a roof every 15 to 20 years over here in the snow belt. So like, hey, the fact that that's already been replaced, that's going to save us 15, 20 grand. But my real estate agent, who, you know, looks at houses every day, looks at roofs every day, she wasn't so sure. She's like, that doesn't really look like a new roof. So she did some digging and she pulled up county permit records and found that there were no permits to replace a roof on that house in the last 5 years. And she told her buyers, I think they're lying. And so we're going to give them the evidence. And they caught the sellers in a lie. And she negotiated a $20,000 credit from the sellers to the buyers for a new roof after closing on a $300,000 home.
That's awesome.
That real estate agent, like so many, more than earned whatever her, you know, 3% minus her expenses. So whatever she got after driving her buyers around all everywhere, she more than earned that 3%. She was literally directly responsible for our buyers getting an extra $20,000 in their pocket. And, you know, I've been in the industry for, you know, almost a decade now, right? You and I both have so many stories like this where good real estate agents that were working on behalf of their buyers did things to not just like demonstrate, you know, like sentimental value or like, oh, they were a good, you know, psychiatrist for me during the process, which you and I both know sometimes we are, right? Because buying a house is a roller coaster, but like real, actual, tangible financial dollars in the pocket because the real estate agent has fought for the buyer. And my biggest fear is that buyers go, well, I can't afford it, so I'm just going to go without it. And that's not going to be good for anybody. That's going to make transactions go way less smoothly. Buyers are going to be way less protected because, hey, I read an article online, 3 things to do when buying a house, so I'm good, right? I don't need a real estate agent. But that's like the philosophy that exists right now in the culture anyway, is this sort of like anti-professionalism towards certain fields. And like, that's my biggest fear, is that buyers aren't going to have the cash to pay 2-3%. So they're just going to say, I can't do it. And they're going to go on without it. And now you're buying a house with a bad inspection. And now you buy a house and you've got a $40,000 foundation problem. And it's like, wouldn't it have been nice to have a real estate agent find that out for you?
Well, so, you know, I was kind of playing this in my head, the scenario, and, you know, it is likely this is going to happen where people are going to say, I don't have the money, so I'll just call the listing broker. Okay, who does that listing broker work for?
Right.
They don't work for the buyer, so they're going to want to get the most money possible. They're going to, you know, and what are you going to do? Like, see, here's another interesting thing. So you've got a buyer and then you've got a buyer with a broker that come to the listing agent. Who's going to look more appealing, right? Used to, it would be the person without a realtor, right? Because you're making double money. But now,
right,
you're doing two sides work and you don't know this person maybe. So now you're going to be telling them, yeah, I guess I'll submit this offer. That means I'm going to write it. And if I write it and I mess up, then that's, but you're not represented. So maybe you should write it, but you can't write it because you don't have access to the forms, because those are IAR in my, you know, Indiana Association of Realtors. Mm-hmm. So if I give you a form to fill out the purchase agreement, then we have to have a relationship. Or to me, it does not bode well. And I don't see that being the common thing, not in the near future. I don't really feel like, that's going to happen, right? That already happens, but I don't think this is going to multiply that. And if it starts to, I think people will really quickly see the reality that you're, you know, painting, and that is, they don't work for the buyer, you know?
Right. I want to be careful here, because I did want to talk about this with you today. You know, when you texted me like, hey, we got to do a podcast soon, I did want to do it. Right. I want to be out in front of this as much as possible, but I also want to acknowledge that neither you nor I know exactly what's going to happen. Right. Sure. So like there's like all sorts of possibilities here. Yeah. Right. Like, I think that there's a huge possibility that this hurts buyers, like that this actively hurts buyers. But think about this. Okay. If this hurts buyers, this also hurts sellers, because if before you would have had 20 buyers that could have bought your house, and now we've just cut that field in half because 10 of them don't have enough money to buy that house and pay the closing costs and pay their buyer's agent, we just cut your pool of buyers in half.
Yep.
What does that do to your perspective of having a bidding war to get the top dollar for your house? Like, you know, a lot of people are saying this is going to drive down prices of the housing market. I don't think that's going to really happen. Large scale, but I think it could happen incrementally in certain places. You know, right now, you know, the example I gave you earlier, right? You know, sometimes you'll have a listing like conventional offers only, right? Because we know for whatever reason, it won't pass an FHA inspection, right? Or it's not USDA eligible because it's in a city, right? So you're saying I only can take this type of buyer. So you have one third the pool of buyers for it, right? Well, that is going to could essentially happen with commission fees, right? Like if you're cutting out like this entire group of potential buyers because the sellers are no longer paying their real estate agents, this could be bad for supply and demand from a macro level.
Yeah, I see that. But again, I think it can only adjust 3%. I feel like that, you know, if that's really the argument, it can really only adjust 3%. And I really feel with NAR's ability to get things pushed through that they want to get pushed through, I really feel like this isn't a huge change. I feel like it's a change that they want to make feel huge. But as we've seen, even the news that's being pushed out there, it's filled with so much falsehoods that if there was a big change, it would literally be evident, and they wouldn't have to put falsehoods. This is how commercial real estate, by the way, this is how commercial real estate already works. So it's not some aha, we fixed the system. It's just, we're tired and we don't want to deal with this. So we're just going to pay you the $400 million we're going to say we're going to pay that, but our biggest foot, you know, forward is going to be to tell all the news people, this is the rhetoric that we're going to push out there. You know, I think it's interesting along those lines. The big thing that they were pushing is like, you know, the whole master bedroom, primary bedroom, right? Like that's been like the biggest kind of change in 70 years is we're no longer going to call it a master bedroom. It's now the primary bedroom. And you didn't see some big news feed about that. And if it was the change for the reason that they claim it should be changed, you would see all sorts of hoops and hurrahs about, you know, look what change that NAR has done. You know, they've got rid of the word. So I don't feel as though this is going to be a big win as they're pushing it. And I think to your point, after discussing it with you, this could be a really big blow to the people who need it. Again, I think people are in a situation where the sellers might just say, look, we'll cover the cost to get the buyer in kind of thing. I feel like that 3% in today's market, if they're making what they have already thought they're going to make and they just need to get the buyer's agent, they'll probably likely just pay that. But there are a lot of people out there, John. For instance, there's this one guy around town. He says he'll sell your house for 1 cent. And so his catch is that, you know, he doesn't need to have your money. And so he'll list your house for 1 cent in hopes that he's your buyer's agent. This guy's business model is going to be all screwed up because, I mean, now he's going to have to try to prove his worth on that end. I'm really looking forward to seeing what comes out of his marketing, you know, next. So, but anyway, so that's what I see, John, is a lot of pushing out narrative. But in terms of how it comes to fruition, I don't see how that will really affect the market.
Yeah, I see it's being portrayed as a big win for everybody. I think it's going to be a net neutral for most sellers. And I think it's going to be pretty bad for first-time home buyers and veterans.
Yeah.
Again, repeat buyers. It's not going to affect at all. They were going to lose 6% on their sale and then get their purchase for free. Now they're going to lose 3% on their sale and 3% on their purchase, right? Yeah. And I guess if you're buying a bigger house, it's going to cost you a little bit more money. But again, you just sold a house. You have money to pay that with. From a lending perspective, I am interested to see if Fannie and Freddie and HUD change something. If they put out a program that essentially helps to cover buyer's agent fees. Because I know for a fact that Fannie and Freddie and HUD do not want buyers out here buying houses without real estate agents. But they also know that if these changes take place, it's going to become harder for their buyers, especially first-time home buyers, the one group of people that basically every political party and every single, you know, like organization in the country wants to help is first time home buyers, right? That's like, no one's ever gotten bad PR for trying to help first time home buyers. It's a win-win for everyone. It's like saying, I want smaller classroom sizes. It's just like automatically a good thing, right? So I'm interested, okay, are they going to drop the down payment requirement again, right? Are lenders going to come out with new programs? You know, I've got a lender that if you can put 1% down on a conventional loan, they'll give you the other 2%, right? Are lenders going to start doing these types of things to pay for buyer's agents? They haven't yet. Is the VA going to change their rule so that veterans can still utilize their VA benefit? Maybe. We just don't know, but I'm really interested to see how this all shakes out over the next few months. And I would bet kind of what you're saying is probably going to happen, right? Give this 6 months to a year, let everything shake out. The landscape's not going to be that different. Although we'll probably lose some of the real estate agents that didn't show their value.
Yeah, I think that'll be interesting too, though, because the market has been such that people have made a lot of money, right? So that's going to be the hard thing is even the bad agents have made a lot of money. And so they've got a lot of runway to burn through what they've earned. And that's going to be the hard thing is like having to deal with the bad agents continued, you know. But yeah, I just people really need to focus on what matters. And they don't want to get a discount heart, you know, surgeon. They don't want to get discount LASIK. Brokers are similar in the fact that if you get a good broker, they could save you $20,000 on a house. And I think people, they might not see that right away. And it might sharpen, you know, the agents that were like, for instance, there might be an agent that would be saying, hey, I'll be willing to sell your $400,000 house for $10,000. And another says, well, I'll do it for $11,000, right? Like, so there might be where they're like sharpening the differencing of values. But you know, getting down in the weeds is just going to be really difficult. And I think there's going to be lots of people say, well, this happened and this happened and this, and they'll have these one-off stories, you know, that show how big of a change this made. But I just feel like, overall, it's not going to change the landscape of real estate. Nothing has changed in 70 years. There hasn't been big changes. So I don't think that this is going to be one of those. I just think it just is changing what part of the pie the money is coming from. And I think that's the biggest thing. Real quick, while I'm talking about pie and where money's coming from, we got this email the other day, and it said that they lost the $400 million or whatever. And they said, this will not affect the dues for members in the 2024 or whatever. I'm like, yeah, but for the next 10 years, bend over, because you're totally screwed.
Oh, man. So, hey, I have a question.
Yeah.
So do you think that the way in which buyer's agents are paid could potentially change? I was thinking this, all right? So I think one of the things that people don't realize about buyer's agents and listing agents is that, like, yeah, at the end of the day, you get what a lot of people would consider to be a pretty good paycheck, you know, when that home closes.
Sure.
But also, you're essentially working for free for like 3 or 4 months while you're taking people to houses. And actually, not even for free. If you're a buyer's agent, you're driving all over the place with $4 a gallon gas to go all over the place. Do you think there's a world where agents start collecting more money up front? We're like, oh yeah, you want to go to that house? You know, it's X for every house visit. And then at the end of the process, since I've recouped a lot of my costs, then I don't charge you 3% at the end. Maybe I charge you 1%, but you cover all my expenses until then. Yeah, do you think that there's a world where, and like, I'm thinking, like, if this type of thing happened, maybe this is actually better for a lot of people involved, because now that buyer is going to think really hard before he's like, hey, I want Michael to leave his family tonight to show me this house, which I don't really love, but it did come on Zillow and I kind of want to go watch it, right? Like,
if
I have to pay for every single trip, okay, I'm only going to get the good ones. Like, is there a world where maybe that type of thing could start playing in, since it's, yeah.
Just this year, John, I did that for somebody. I had never thought about that before. This NAR thing had zero effect on why I did it, but I literally went into a listing appointment. The kids, and I say kids because they were way younger than me, they had a house. They were trying to renovate it. Looked nice, you know, okay. They had another realtor that kept asking them to drive down the price last fall. And when I did the comps, I was showing that what she was trying to get to was accurate. And so I was thinking, you know, I want a good relationship with these people. And they felt that the other agent was pushy, and I don't want to ever be pushy in general. And so I just didn't want to even go down that road. And so I knew that I felt that the price that it should sell at was going to not be where they wanted to be at, because they bought it recently and they hadn't lived in it long enough to realize enough improvement, you know, of the price. So I basically gave them 3 price options, and the one that they chose was the least expensive. And what it did is I did all of the marketing for them. I did all the photos. I have a pilot's license, so I did the drone work. I did a 3D camera. You know, I did all of the marketing, and I said, look, list this on Zillow. If a buyer agent comes, you can offer to pay them, because this thing with NAR hadn't come out yet. So I said, you could offer to pay the buyer agent a commission, and this should save you enough money that you could get out of this house and not owe anything, or you know, maybe make a couple thousand. And I made maybe 4,000 less than what I would have if I'd have realized the sale. But I didn't roll the dice with them because I didn't think that it was gonna work out, and I didn't want a bad relationship or a bad thing to happen, you know, if it didn't sell. I didn't want any kind of bad vibes. They were a young couple, very good jobs, multiple homes already. They're going to buy more homes in the future. And sure enough, the marketing that I did was way better than the other two brokers before me. They listed it on Zillow. They sold their home in, I want to say they told me like 3 days. They got an agent. She took like 2.5%, like nothing. And they're super happy with me. They couldn't be more happy. And then I also clicked on the end. I'm like, here's my first fee. Got that collected. I'll take another fee at the end to help you work through the paperwork. No big deal. And that's exactly what we did. And I reiterated that when they called me and said, hey, I got an offer. And they said, you know, will you help me through? And I said, remember, there's a cost. And they said, yeah, we want to do that. And so, John, I definitely think that that's a way to go. I was away from my family, like, very little. And they're going to make out well. The buying agent's happy. The buyer's happy. Everyone won in that situation. And so I think that could be more prevalent, but not for all agents. Because here's the deal. I've worked really hard. I have $25,000 of video equipment. I've got 10 years of learning how to do, you know, editing, like video editing and all, like a pilot's license. Like I went through all that stuff. Like not every broker can offer that service and charge what I charge.
Right.
And right. So sure, someone could go in there with their iPhone and take some pictures, but I can show you like just the difference of what quality and time, you know, is worth. I showed it to them. They were floored. And of course, you know, they were just really happy. And so yeah. I think that could happen for good quality people. But I also think that it's not going to be the normal. I really don't feel like that's going to be the normal way we do business.
Yeah. Well, cool, man. I think this was good. My phone was blown up on Friday. All sorts of people that I haven't talked to for years. Like, John, isn't this good for you? Isn't this great for all of us? Blah, 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 blah. One guy's like, yeah, I've been in an argument with my real estate agent friend that houses really aren't worth what they're selling for. And now I'm going to be right because the prices are going to come down. I'm like, I don't think that's really going to happen. I mean, like you said, maybe it'll come down a couple percent because you're not factoring in both sides' fees. But also, I think here in the short term, a lot of sellers are just going to be like, oh, I just made an extra 3% on this from what I was planning on making. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out, but.
Real quick, John, on that note, it is interesting to think about this. We are no longer allowed to disclose any kind of seller commission, okay? However, when I first got in the business, seller concessions were not common. Before I got in the business, so early 2000s, people used to have like 20% down. And now they're getting sellers concessions. So I don't know, but it might not be a huge uncommon thing in the future to say, I want 3% seller concessions and I want 3% for my buyer's agent. Nothing changed.
Right.
We're allowed to now ask or negotiate that. As far as I know, we are supposed to have a buyer agency agreement signed with, you know, our deals. We're supposed to have that together. But if agents continue to have to pay their brokers and they have all the same expenses, I mean, I don't see how that's going to affect, but it very well could change. Excuse me. As what you see from the lender is, here's, I want the seller concessions. Here's, I want the buyer's agency covered. And then I want you to install a rate on mitigation system. So I don't think that and if that's the case, sellers' pricing are not coming down. If word gets out that sellers are still paying that, the prices are still going to stay high and we're still on a shortage.
Sure. Yeah, no, I hear you.
So, all right, John, like we'd like to do always, give us a good thought for today.
Oh man, a good thought for today. You know, we've been talking about this all week and I didn't really come prepared with a good thought for today. Do you have one?
You know what? I do have a good thought. I lost my dog this week and had to put her down after 14 years. And so a thought has come through my mind, which you probably know who said it. I don't. but someone said that it was better to love and lost than never to have loved at all. Do you know who said that?
I mean, that's similar things have been stated in from various authors in literature.
I figured that you would have that answer, but you know,
Victor Hugo said something similar to it in Les Mis.
Yeah. And so I to me, you know, I've been thinking about that and how hard it was. And, you know, I don't want another puppy. I don't want another dog because of all of the things. I mean, we spent $300 or $400 a month on her eye medicines the last 3 or 4 years that she was, 5 years that she had been alive. And just a lot of problems and everything. But I really miss her. And all of that is something that I will have with me forever, is the love and the wagging of the tail and all of that that dogs provide throughout their lives. And so all of that, that is my positive thought today, is if you have a pet, if you have a child, just embrace the happy and the love that they give you unconditionally, because that's really what pets are. They love you unconditionally, no matter how much you yell at them or bad day 5 minutes ago. They're always there with that wagging tail and licking tongue, and so that's my happy thought for the day.
Lord Tennyson said that exactly. So shout out to my mom, who's probably listening, my English teacher mom, that would be furious that I forgot that was a Tennyson quote. And yes, our lives are made abundantly better from our loved dogs and pets. So thank you for sharing that, and I'm sorry for your loss.
Yep. Thanks, Sean. All right. Well, we'll wrap it up. Till next time. All right. Let me see if I can stop this.